I've been thinking more about Brian Cushing and his addition to the coaching staff, and one area where I will concede he can provide real value to the Texans is these strength coaches, I imagine, are around a lot. I would think that a guy like Cushing could help out the guys who are coming off major injuries.
Oh, yeah.
This is where Cushing has expertise, and I'm not saying that in some sort of making fun of way at all. Brian Cushing has had two major injuries that he came back from, and he actually came back and played in the NFL. The first, the torn ACL, and then the broken leg the following year, the Jamaal Charles injury. So we always hear from, at least in my case, in Paul's case, from an outside standpoint, how tough it is for these guys listening to J.J. Watt discuss what it was like dealing with a back injury. The tough days, we got to wake up early, no glory, you got to go in, do all your rehab. Brian Cushing has a level of expertise in that, so where I think he can provide a real value with the guys on this team who are coming off significant injuries.
That's a very good point, because I had a bunch of surgeries when I played, too. I had at least 12 actual surgeries and a bunch of scopes that I don't count. But the monotony is one of the hardest things, and if you've never been through it before, it can be very, very depressing, because at the beginning, the gains that you're trying to make are so minuscule and they're so far away from what you're accustomed to doing. Like when you get out after ACL surgery, your first goal for a long time is just to be able to do a leg lift like this. I'm doing it in front of you right now without your like lower leg lagging at all. So like you're learning how to fire the muscles in your quad and to keep your legs straight all the time. Or you're just trying to get extra flexion, extra bend in your knee. And that takes a long, long time.
Yep.
So like what you have to really learn to celebrate the small victories, like really anticipate and celebrate the little milestones. Because other than that, it's a whole lot of time just sitting in a training room doing really boring exercises. And it's frustrating as hell.
I mean, it's speculation, but could someone like Cushing help out? Could Brian Cushing help out a guy like Deontay Foreman, who the Texans clearly had issues with as far as shape?
Even if it's not Deontay Foreman specifically, I think sometimes guys don't really understand how little of a sacrifice they're actually making compared to guys that are making real sacrifices. And again, I'm not talking about Deontay Foreman specifically, just one of the hardest things for some rookies to realize is the level of commitment by good players, like, and how much they're thinking about football away from the game.
Okay.
And like what the sacrifices they're making in terms of their lifestyle. Like, what are you doing as far as what time are you going to bed at night? What are you eating when you're away from the facility, all those things. And Cushing, like, you can say what you want about what Cushing might have done in terms of PEDs. The fact of the matter is that he was dialed in a lot of other areas of his life, like the nutrition, the sleep, all of that. And a lot of times guys, like a wide receiver or running back, might not have a whole lot of opportunity to talk about it with J.J. Watt or any other active player on the team just because there's time. Like, you're only around guys so often, where Cushing can kind of focus on and target those guys and have real conversations with them.
He, I think, is as regimented as you can possibly be, Brian Cushing, when it comes to some of the stuff that he was doing as a player, and I imagine even more so now that he probably needs something to focus on. You know, after your playing career, what do you do to occupy yourself during the downtime to fill the void? And I'm sure that is what Brian Cushing has really gone full into. And, you know, I think back to his interactions with Alfred Blue on Hard Knocks, and I'm trying to think to put that interaction on a relationship between Brian Cushing and Deontay Foreman. And I think only positive things can happen. I feel like Brian Cushing would get in Deontay Foreman's face, and I feel like he would give him the necessary motivation to perhaps change the lifestyle,
what's the coaching equivalent of smacking a guy down in a pass rush drill, I suppose? I don't know. It's not
screaming at a guy.
Just going up next to him and alphaing him by squatting more than him or something?
Something like that. Well, I talked to Cushing at the Houston Sports Awards, and I was just talking about kind of that first year out of football and what it's like, and he had told me, it was fine during the season. Then you get to the off season and you realize, oh wow, this is really it. You know, like during the season you can kind of watch the team and maybe you're thinking somebody might call or something, but you get to the off season and it's a whole lot of nothing. And you're looking out at the rest of your life, and it's not just a whole lot of nothing right this moment. It's a whole lot of nothing for the next 70 years. And you got to figure out
such a long time period.
And it really is, and you try to prepare guys for it, and I still struggle. It's one of those things like when you're talking to teenagers and you're not quite sure they get it. When I talk to active players now about having a plan for when they're done retiring, I think most of the time they assume you're just talking about money. And I'm like, no, dude, it's almost worse if you have a plan for the money. If you don't have a plan for the money, then you're going to have to be scrambling your ass off and you'll be occupied. If you think that you're going to be happy at the age of 32 sitting around and doing nothing productive for the rest of your life because you've got money, you're about to have a big comeuppance. Like, you got to do something productive. Most people, some people, and God bless them. God bless the person that can actually be idle at the age of 32 and enjoy it. Most people go slowly and steadily insane.
We are discussing Brian Cushing and his addition to the coaching staff, which occurred 2 weeks ago. I have been more sold on the idea that Cushing could help the injured guys on this team based on his own unique experience. Our guy, Pape's ex-Robert, claims that my balls have been removed by this take. Don't get it mistaken. I'm still not a pro Brian Cushing person. I can separate my opinions into different categories.
And as we've established, I will now. You know what? I'm gonna order a Brian Cushing fathead on the internet right now.
You think
as
they
we
exist?
Simultaneously welcome in Landry Locker to the show.
Do you think that a Brian Cushing fathead just exists on the internet?
No, no way.
Wait a second. You could have asked me, do you think blank exists on the internet? And if the answer is yes, yeah, I can find sexually oriented Brian Cushing fatheads on the internet. If I tried hard enough.
Prove it.
Where do I go for fatheads, like second? eBay?
I just did a search.
Amazon, obviously.
It looks like eBay is the first result. So if you bought a Brian Cushing fathead, I guess you could try to bring it in here and put it on the wall.
My wife's not going to want it in the bedroom, I hope.
That's what I was wondering. Like,
she's
sure?
Like, hell yeah. Give me some of that Cush.
Put it on the ceiling.
Oh, God.
Put it on the ceiling.
So you can glare down menacingly. But I might have performance issues. I'm like, babe, I can't. I can't when Cush is glaring at me. Shut up and do it.
I feel like Brandy would respect Cushing's physique, though.
Of course she would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not going to. Yeah.
Isn't she an Adam Levine fan?
Was she going to put it down?
Isn't she an Adam Levine fan after he took his shirt off?
That was a complete joke about the Adam Levine.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I gotta be careful when I'm making stuff up on air.
I took that seriously.
She likes Adam Levine. She likes Adam Levine musically. She thought like a lot of people, when he took his shirt off, actually thought, like, that looks like you're trying too hard, Adam Levine.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Adam Levine, you're not, like, am I supposed to believe that you're from the streets or something? What are you doing, Adam Levine?
These fat heads aren't cheap. I just saw one on mancavegiant.com. I don't know if that's a real website, but yeah. It's got the Cushing fat head for $110 right now.
I'm guessing if my wife would never, let's see. My wife doesn't want a guy that's like a shredded, like, physique model type, but like football players like Cushing or
she wants a baseball player.
JJ
Your wife
Watt or
wants
something.
An Astro.
You think so?
Justin Verlander.
Oh, she loves all. No.
Mariznick.
My wife and I are old enough now that she genuinely looks at all the Astros kind of like her little, like little brothers or nephews or something. Where with a football player, it's a different deal. I think she could talk herself into a young football player.
You don't want your woman around Jake Mariznick for too long.
That's a good
realistically.
Point. No, she thinks that I've got more of a crush on Mariznick than she does.
Okay.
I'm absolutely in love with Mariznick. I frankly get mad at my wife that she doesn't have a crush on Mariznick.
Okay.
I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you?
He's a good looking guy.
I question your choice in me now that you don't like Mariznick.
He looks like Jackson Maine from A Star Is Born, the Bradley Cooper character, and if he busts out a guitar, yeah, he's making a star, right?
Listen, the ladies and or gentlemen who are interested in this kind of stuff would agree with me here. With Mariznick, it's so much more than just the looks. It's the whole package.
Yeah.
It's like his
athleticism.
It's his spirit, it's his fun-lovingness, it's the way he pals around that. He's the whole package. Ladies, if you're not interested in Jake Mariznick, you gotta start looking at yourself and wondering what's wrong with you.
Landry, what do you guys have going on this morning?
We got a lot going on, man. A whole lot going on. The Texans can benefit from controversy twice. They can benefit from the controversial signing of Kareem Hunt, and they can benefit from the most controversial hire of the offseason. We'll tell you how John McClain's going to come in. He's starting his mock draft stuff. I got the one prospect the Texans should consider trading up for. We're going to have Daryl Ryder from Cleveland. He's going to come in and talk about the reaction out there with Kareem Hunt, because he has an interesting perspective. He's actually a victim of domestic violence, so he's been getting a lot of stuff from Cleveland fans. And then we're going to talk about the Jags quarterback situation. I think it would be an absolute nightmare for Kyler Murray to go there. We'll tell you why, but Seth kind of made me feel a little bit better about that this morning with the story that he sent me. Also, by the way, Seth, I heard y'all talking about my Kareem Jackson take. Just know this.
I do think there is something to it, but it's not going to be a situation where if the Texans don't sign Kareem Jackson, I'm going to say, see, I told you so.
Okay.
I'm just trying to investigate, and my theory was that because Kareem Jackson was at Radio Row and he wasn't pimping anything out, that I feel like he sees the writing on the wall. This, along with other clues, that it seems like the Honey Badger is the guy they're going to go with, and they're just going to add corner depth for Kareem. And I thought the fact that Kareem Jackson was the only guy out there not pimping anything meant that maybe he forecasts that he's going to need to get his name out there and get his services. But it's not going to be a situation where if they don't sign him, I'm going to say, I told you
for the
I
record,
know that bugs the hell out of
for the record, I like the take, and I think you should. I think you go all in with this. Investigative sleuth,
really
Landry Locker on the trail. It doesn't matter. If you're right, you're right. The ends justify the means.
All right, quick update on the Brian Cushing fathead search. Frankly,
I couldn't find one.
They did. I found one, and I'm really disappointed in the fathead company. This looks like Brian Cushing's trying to ride an invisible horse in his battle red uniform or something. That's not a good look at all. I'm offended for Brian Cushing here. I'm going to start a... I'm not buying a fat head.
Get a horse fat head to put underneath Brian Cushing, and then it will look really
like
awesome.
A unicorn or something. Mike, one of those super muscled unicorns.
Mike, Seth, and Paul, Mad Radio on a Tuesday.
Look at him. It looks like his helmet doesn't even fit him. He looks like a fat Pop Warner kid or something, trying to ride an invisible horse. I'm really disappointed in Fathead Company.
He's not really in a full action shot there. Kareem Hunt, the most controversial NFL news of the early portion of the week.
$109?
Yeah, it's not cheap. That was my take. Kareem Hunt signs a one-year deal with the Browns. The more I think about it as we continue to discuss it all morning, from a pure Texan standpoint, I think it's very unrealistic. They discussed this with Cal McNair and Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien more than just the cursory, like, okay, this guy's available. What do we think? Probably not. Kareem Hunt still has a lot. I hate to compare instances of violence against women, but if we're going to juxtapose, let's say Kareem Hunt with Roberto Osuna, the Astros had one thing to investigate, one situation to investigate. With Kareem Hunt, it's very unclear to me what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the thing on video with him kicking the woman at the hotel in Cleveland last off season. I'm looking at two other incidents that are out there that Paul has mentioned over the course of the morning. The NFL is still investigating. So from a Browns standpoint, I'm signing Kareem Hunt, and I'm not exactly sure. I mean, maybe they're convinced they're sure of what exactly went on, but I, in my seat this morning, am not clear on what has happened here.
I'm glad you brought up Roberto Osuna, because with Osuna as well, I don't know how much the Astros could have been aware of what he did, just given Canadian law. I remember when we were taking a look at this, Canadian law makes incidents of domestic violence extremely private. It's really difficult to get any information about a case like Roberto Osuna. We heard rumors about things, but ultimately we didn't hear anything. And ultimately, it's not even like the charges essentially were dismissed. It's just they just sort of went away, and then everyone sort of went on with their business. Where with this, Kareem Hunt hasn't been arrested for anything. You have the video incident, and that's the thing that everyone is highlighting. And the reason that Kareem Hunt was released is not because of the incident as much as it's because he lied to the Chiefs about the incident.
I wonder about that, though, too. I mean, that was where that was made it a very easy decision for the Chiefs to do that, but I wonder if it would have changed at all, because once the video's out there, the intensity of the scrutiny and criticism is so great.
Well, definitely, but you would think, okay,
if he had come in the next day and said, man, I messed up, I need help or something, then the Chiefs at least have something to work with. For one, that they might really believe that he has genuine contrition over it, and two, that when it comes to public scrutiny and when it comes to defending yourself as an organization, you say, all right, look, this kid knows he has a problem and we're going to help him figure it out.
But even if say they had talked about it with him and he was honest, I feel like he would have been fine. I think the cover up ultimately is what ended up costing him. And to compare this to, I guess, other situations where there is video evidence, I mean, this was bad. Was it as bad as the video we see of Ray Rice? No, not even close. It's a different situation. Like, it seems like there was a bit of a scrum and he did some messed up things in the midst of said scrum. I think that he probably would have gotten an opportunity to continue to play with the Chiefs. And I just wonder if the Chiefs would have been comfortable with whatever the NFL suspension is supposed to be. Cause that's the other thing. The consistency side of suspensions for domestic violence, not consistent at all. Remember Josh Brown, the kicker for the New York Giants,
got two games
and then he got six games and then he was gone.
The Josh Brown one had some very, there was a lot of weirdness on that one.
As far as Kareem Hunt and what he did and did not tell the Chiefs, Kareem Hunt, when he was on ESPN with Lisa Salters about a month or so ago, said, quote, The Chiefs are right. I didn't tell them everything. I don't blame them for anything. My actions caused this. I wish I could apologize to them and let them know there's no hard feelings between me and the Chiefs. So that's what he said. I mean,
hey, it has a happy ending.
Yeah, I cite that mainly just to illustrate that it does appear that he was not forthcoming with the Chiefs about the initial incident in Cleveland last offseason.
Yeah, I feel like that just put the nail in the coffin. Given the way these things have worked out generally, the team that I think we're starting to see a template here. Okay, the team where it happens has to get rid of the guy, whether it's Roberto Osuna or
Kareem Hunt
or whomever else. And then the next team that signs that guy is going to get some scrutiny. Well, let's say Carolina Panthers too. Say goodbye to Greg Hardy. The Cowboys, they get some scrutiny, but largely for the most part, it goes away. Roberto Osuna gets signed by the Astros. Outroar, rage, all these things. Whatever. After a little while, Kareem Hunt with the Browns. Unless there's another incident, I think follows the same track. And again,
where
I am with it, like Paul and I disagree. I think guys should get a second chance, but if you're the NFL and you're giving them the second chance, I would like to see more like cutting edge advanced rehabilitation programs where you're setting the example for what can be. Because in society, look, we have an issue with this as in society, and that you need to be able to. Having zero tolerance doesn't really fix the issue. Trying to rehabilitate people can help fix the issue. I just want to see the NFL be more active with that part of it.
If the NFL did that, I'd be more open to it. But at the same time, I look at these guys that are doing violent acts, and I wonder, like, why do they deserve another opportunity? And why does Kareem Hunt, with three separate violent incidents that he was at least a part of in 6 months, why does he deserve another chance?
It's always hard to argue on the side of someone deserves something. In this situation, really in any situation in sports, that someone deserves something.
Well, from a rational standpoint, 100%, you're right, Mike. But from a I look at it this way standpoint, like that's why I'm looking at it that way. And I understand there's a little rationality attached to it.
I think when we listen to what the Browns are saying about this, it's impossible or almost impossible to fully buy into what they are saying.
It's so disingenuous. They're such frauds.
Here's what the Browns are.
Breaking news, by the way.
Go ahead.
No, I can't because we only have like 1 second left.
We have 90 seconds to go.
Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, according to one of our listeners who just texted in some tweets, have the same agent. Kyler Murray just signed with the guy who's the same agent for Cliff Kingsbury.
Eric Burkhardt, who used to be Johnny Manziel's agent.
Who is now the, Cliff Kingsbury is the guy that said he would draft him overall if he could.
I'll say there's an outside chance. I just can't imagine. I think Kyler Murray will go in the top 15 of the NFL draft. I don't think he'll be the number one pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think just
pointing it out there.
That's a fair thing to throw out there. I mean, Kingsbury has some history, I think, with Kyler Murray, and maybe it's something that could possibly happen here. This is obviously a big story that we'll track over the course of the offseason. Tomorrow, John McClain is in at 7:40 on the radio show In the Loop with Landry Locker and John Lopez is next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.